Wall Street gets a blank check while Main Street picks up the tab. Politicians raise taxes while the private sector picks up the tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome to the only live and local show dedicated to the private sector and turning our economy around. This is Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101.
At 7 past the hour on a gorgeous weekend here in the Pacific Northwest, welcome to an all-new edition of Business Briefing. I'm Brian Bushlack. Glad you could join us. We have a ton of things to talk about in this edition of the show. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Suzanne Stevens from the Portland Business Journal joins us to talk about Nike's decision to remove Joe Paterno's name from their child center at the campus out near Beaverton. We'll talk to Suzanne about that and the ongoing labor strife at the Port of Portland. Also, Joseph Chaplick from Joseph Bernard Investment Real Estate joins us in our next hour to talk about the red-hot commercial market, particularly the apartment market he focuses on. We'll also talk about the Ronald McDonald House Children's Charities Golf Tournament coming up in a couple of weeks out at Pumpkin Ridge. Hope to see you out there. Also, John DaCosta joins us with some interesting numbers. We have the latest RMLS numbers out, and inventory has now dipped under 4 months in the Portland market, so it's a very tight real estate market out there. We'll talk to John about that as well, but first we turn to our good friend Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, to talk about the latest economic numbers. And Pat, before we get into this, I want to kind of rewind a little bit and look at the job numbers from last week, another ugly report. You warned us not to get too up or down about this during what we're calling a so-called recovery. But you look at this now, Pat, after three straight dismal months, we've got a U6 number at almost 15%. When and how is this thing going to turn around?
Brian, I think part of the problem is using a term like turnaround. We are on a long, slow, gradual recovery. And, you know, historically, if you look at financial collapses, they typically take up to 9 years to recover, and we are near five. So this is just a long, slow process. And as bad as the job numbers are, we are still having net job growth. It is just at an abysmal rate, and you know, you typically think that you have to have 200,000 to 300,000 new jobs each month in order to fully employ or to get back to an unemployment rate that's acceptable, you know, the 6.5% rate. Well, we're not doing that. We are adding jobs, but we're adding jobs at 200,000 or less. So it's just going to be a long, slow recovery. Now, there were some positives in the latest job reports. You know, there's improvement in the average work week. There's some gains in average earnings. You know, a couple other things that were kind of good in the June numbers were that non-farm payrolls increased by about 80,000, and you got some leading indicators that are positive, and the temporary employment growth is solid. So there's some things that are good, but overall it's discouraging because, of course, we think of economic recoveries as being V-shaped.
Yeah,
recoveries from financial collapses are not V-shaped.
Well, that's some sobering news, so it sounds like we may have another 3 or 4 years of this. And I'm interested to ask you, too, kind of a sidebar question here. With so many baby boomers out there, Pat, who suffered dramatically in the past few years, watched their retirement dissipate precipitously, how much does that impact this as well? You're going to have baby boomers who are probably going to have to work another 5 or 10 years longer than maybe they thought, right?
Yeah, I think you're seeing some. That's a good observation, Brian. You're seeing some impact from that. You're seeing extraordinarily high unemployment levels among younger people, and I think in part that reflects the nature of this financial collapse. But I think also as time goes on, that will be reflecting continued employment among older people. So this is going to be a bit of a sociological disruption or change for us. And, you know, a lot of people you talk to have postponed retirement, are going to continue to work. So I suspect that this is a game changer for a lot of people.
Patrick Stone joining us here on Business Briefing. And, you know, Pat, we're obviously hearing a lot more about the so-called fiscal cliff that's coming here at the end of the year. What's your feeling on this, how the drama will play out? You know, we've got the election, obviously. Is this going to get fixed before the election, after the election, or do you think we're going to just go over the cliff?
Brian, it won't get fixed before the election. Don't even count on it. There will be a lot of debate and discussion. There might be some parts of it that get addressed. But if you look at this issue, it's a combination of expiring tax cuts and what they call sequestration. And these are basically an agreement to cut federal spending. And if you look at the total package that comprises what's being called the fiscal cliff, you have payroll tax cuts that expire that are about $120 billion. Jobless benefits expired about $40 billion. Affordable Care Act comes into play, adds about $46 billion in expenses. The 2000-2003 tax cuts for upper income expire. That's about $83 billion. 2001-2003 tax cuts for low and middle income expire. That's $196 billion. And then the spending cuts comprise about $90 billion. So you add all that up, you're looking at a net impact on the economy of $576 billion. Current economic size of the country, of GDP, that amounts to about a 3.6% impact on GDP. Well, you've seen the GDP numbers,
yeah.
And you're talking about a GDP of growing at less than 2%. And if all this happens, you take 3.6% negative, we're upside down. We're back into a recession. So this is definitely a very scary prospect. Now, I think most people think that you'll get some compromises here. The payroll tax cuts probably will expire in its entirety. There is some hope and a lot of people talking about, well, if the other side does this, we'll agree to extend the tax cuts. So, if we get a little bit of compromise anywhere along the line, we could get the impact down to about $200 billion or so. That'd be a 1.2% impact on the economy. So best case scenario here is that we essentially take 1.2% off of GDP, get back very close to being neutral on GDP growth. That in itself is scary. This is not a good thing, and it won't be fixed before the election. And I doubt seriously that it's going to be fixed in a very elegant manner even after the election.
Okay, well, we'll fasten our seatbelts then. And you look at big Ben Bernanke and the Fed planning to keep interest rates now low through 2014. Rates are already pretty low, Pat. What else do you think, if anything, the Fed can do to spur the economy at this point? It seems to me and a lot of other people like they may be out of ammunition here.
Well, they could do a couple things, but let me answer this in two parts here, Brian. One, there are things the Fed could still do. There are a great many economists that feel if the Fed came out and announced a nominal GDP number of 5 or 6% and, basically redefined their role. Right now we talk about the Fed's role mostly in terms of keeping inflation at 2%. That perception and that emphasis on inflation came out of the 1970s and 1980s. And, the Fed really has a dual mandate, keep inflation at 2%, keep unemployment at 5 or 6%. Well, we are totally skewed in favor of inflation the last, couple decades. Recently, with lower rates, there's been an effort to reduce, to spur the economy and reduce unemployment. But the Fed could redefine the role a little bit. They could come out with a nominal GDP growth rate, and in doing so, tell the market very, very clearly that we're going to adhere to policies that promote growth long term. And you've seen the impact when they talk about keeping rates low. The impact that's had on the investment market and on public confidence. So they can do some things. They can also move some of their balance sheet into different bonds and buy different things to level out some of the interest rates or change the yield curve. But the reality is, Brian, that we need to have the Congress step up and enact a fiscal package that spurs growth. And then this runs right, tremendous headwinds against this, because this runs contrary to some of the ideology being articulated. But in my opinion, the best thing that could happen would be to have some fiscal stimulus in the form of an infrastructure investment over a 10-year period, coupled with a very solid commitment to controlling the deficit over a 20-year period. So you notice I'm using long-term here, because
yes,
in both cases, this has to be a long-term commitment. You're not going to get any agreement to short-term changes. There's too much political headwind against it. So it's really going to be up to Congress.
Uh-oh. Sounds like we're in real trouble then. More with Pat Stone after we take a quick break. You're listening to Business Briefing here on FM News 101.